We have to morph this into Baltimore now. We are going to take on a fascinating tour of Mount Auburn Cemetery, the oldest African-American cemetery in Baltimore. Seven-year restoration process taking place. And we were joined by Robin Hood, Associate Director of Center for Museums at the James E. Lewis Museum of Art here at Morgan State University, and Gene Hitchcock, who actually is Secretary of Appointments for Governor's Office, but visiting this ancient, old African-American cemetery whose spirits come to life. Stay with us for the story. Take us back. I mean, I think for our listeners who never heard of Mount Auburn, there's a lot of people who've never heard of this cemetery. But take us back to when this began, why this is such a historically important place. Where are we standing? What's the significance of the place we're standing in right now? Gene Hitchcock.
This is owned by an African-American church, the Sharp Street Memorial United Methodist Church, which has deep, deep roots in Baltimore. It has deep roots in terms of being a church where many of our civil rights icons prayed there every Sunday. Morgan was founded in the basement of Sharp Street. So what you see here is deeply rooted in the African-American experience in Baltimore City. The ownership of it and the maintenance of it is very important to us.
Robin Howard.
For a time, there were no places, there weren't many places where African Americans could be buried. So this was huge because it is 33 acres. It's 33 acres. And I'm told that over in that corner, over in that space, there are bodies of Civil War, African American Civil War soldiers.
Veterans.
They're all unmarked where, you know, bodies were just laid to rest. So it is an icon, I would say, you know, for Baltimore City. And I know we talked a minute about the view. Just look as you stand here, yeah. And you can see the Inner Harbor there and all the boats, and I think Key Bridge as well.
Yeah. We were joking, you know, when they started the cemetery, if waterfront property was as valuable then as now, this wouldn't probably be here, but it is.
Yeah, you know, this is valuable property now.
Yeah.
I mean, in other cities, there would have been an effort to relocate all of this,
right,
in order to take advantage of the prime nature of this real estate. But my great grandparents are buried over there, at the top of that hill part. Yeah. I have lots of relatives here. In fact, right here is my paternal grandparents. My grandfather is over here, and my great-grandfather, great-grandmother, and a lot of relatives are over there. Robin's point is that this was a segregated society we lived in, and you couldn't be not only could you not sit at a counter and eat a cup of ice cream, you couldn't be buried together. You didn't pray together and you weren't buried together. So this is Black Baltimore's history right here, going back to 1787. So anybody African American living in Baltimore is buried here up to a certain point in time.
So you know the Lily Carroll Jackson is here, and the Jackson family's here. Joe Gans, when you first come in, the boxer, Joe Gans is here.
The founder of the fraternities is here. Founder of a bishop of an African American church is here. I hesitate to even outline the VIPs buried here because it sort of diminishes the significance of all the souls of Baltimore who are buried here, not just the VIPs, but just all of the souls of Baltimore.
I mean, it's sacred, hallowed ground.
Yeah, it is.
And so the slaves and freemen are all buried here together, right?
Yes.
Slaves and freemen. Babies, there's a section called Babyland where babies were born, were buried. Not only are veterans here, but there's also a mass grave. We're told anecdotally by neighbors that during World War II, military trucks would drive up and dump bodies, unknown soldiers here. So in our plan for total restoration, I'm clearly going to have a veterans kind of component to it. So we now have a business plan for the restoration. I first have to get control of the growth. I'm just flabbergasted as I stand here because over the winter, this was all flat. And just the few spring rains have caused this to grow up again. But today, there is a plan and strategy to keep it clear. So I now can rely on this inmate project to keep it safe. But we can't rely on that forever. So the project we have for Sunday is just a kickoff for the Sunday service.
What's going to happen Sunday?
Sunday, we're going to recognize and honor the inmates for their work and their service.
The men who have been doing this work who are in prison.
Yes. And Sergeant Hanna was the gentleman who used to supervise the inmates. We've asked him to come. I'm going to give him a gubernatorial proclamation, and the church will give him a small gift.
So the men know the significance of what they're doing?
Yeah, they do. They do. Here's another. Now, see, I'm seeing this pattern here where families have cordoned off an entire section with stone. And then I assume several caskets are buried in here. And it's interesting. You see how the land sinks? You know why it sinks? You don't know why it sinks. This sinks because in the olden days, the state didn't require casket liners. So pretty much if you were buried here then without a casket liner, then everything disintegrated. So the hole where the casket actually sat is now a real hole because nothing is in there. The body and the wood disintegrated. So that's why the effort at restoration has to include backfilling some of the grave sites.
One of the things about being here, I mean, I remember some of the conversations we had in the very beginning when you all were on the show 7 years ago, was that there are artifacts in this, there are things in this graveyard, in this cemetery, that show the linkage between Africa and African Americans were buried in this place.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a site that we did find on the first excursion out here. It's way down on that end of the cemetery. But there's a family that would come out and adorn this site with all kinds of cloth, and they would put jars of water in the trees. They would actually hang mason jars from the trees and put jars around the bottom. And if you didn't walk down there and actually walk through all the brush and everything, you would never know that it was there. But this person, there was somebody that was actually coming and taking care of this, you know, and doing this. And you see, every now and then you do see something. There's some balloons and some flowers down, some pink balloons and flowers. I imagine that looks like maybe Mother's Day something.
Does it stay open? People come in here?
Now that I can't say for sure because, you know, they did the dedication when the fence was built. I think all that was last spring. And we were told it was going to be locked and that you had to get permission or let somebody know that you wanted to come because when it was open, people were coming in and using it as a dump. You know, you would come in, there'd be mattresses and, you know, do you see that, what looks like a house kind of right there?
Yes, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, that was and don't quote me, I forget what you call it, but underground, you would keep bodies. For the wintertime, like, you know, they would keep the bodies down. Oh, and it actually has stairs, what's left of them, that go underground. So one of my colleagues, the professor, Professor Jones, she was very brave, and she went down there, and she said there was just full of mattresses and debris and where people were coming, people were sleeping, yeah. The goal was to be able to make a beautiful fence because it was, you could actually walk in over, the fence that was there, you could walk in over at any spot. And But to make the fence now so that it's locked and you do have to have permission. Plus, there's a this is the way in and now that's the way out, where that wasn't the case before.
Oh.
Yeah, when you go down this road, when the right, you got to go out that way. So now it's an entrance and an exit.
So how did it fall into disrepair? What happened? Now, I remember when we drove up, we were talking about, we talked about this last time, years back, that this is a cemetery because it wasn't taken care of, that the families whose family were buried here.
Private, because it belongs to the church. So the families would come out and take care of the sites themselves. Families would come out, they would mow the lawn, they'd keep the grass down, they'd manicure the entire area. But that's what families did, a long time ago. You don't do that now because everything is perpetual, everything is perpetual care. And I guess after a while, people just don't... I don't know what to say, what the explanation would be. Maybe there's nobody left to do it, but that, that's what happened because it is private. It was private.
So now the church has to take the responsibility for the maintenance, and that's what we're doing now, is taking responsibility.
I think I was telling you, my family talks about, having picnics in the cemetery, where they would come and, come and eat and socialize while, everybody was cleaning up and straightening up. So it was actually an event. I mean, it was something that you did on a Sunday or something that you took time out to do that,
Both your families. All right. You're not just working on this cemetery. Both your families, you're part of it. Both your families are buried here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One last thing. How important is this to all of us? I mean, I know to the two of you, this is your work, these are your families, but how important is this to us, to who we are as a people, to who we are as a community, that Mount Auburn survived? You can say, oh, it's a bunch of cemetery, they're buried here, that's a long time ago, who cares?
Well, keeping history alive certainly goes to the soul of a society, really. Makes us the civilized people that we are, that we cherish our ancestors. And so I think it's important to Baltimore for us to cherish our ancestors. I think it's important that we communicate to our young people, the importance of the cemetery and who is buried here. It's a part of our history. So to the extent that you can ever cherish history, then you have to cherish Mount Auburn Cemetery.
And the good thing that is happening now is students at Morgan specifically have been able to use the space as a lab. We had landscape architecture students who came, they were doing a studio class, and they came out and they were able to do the site analysis. And the site analysis including survey, looking at the community, looking at the history, looking at all the surroundings, which is how we were able to find out about the plant life, the different plants that are here that shouldn't be, but they are. So the goal is really to be able to use it as a lab, as a place where students can come and do research, as a place where students can come and, other than not just history, but to architecturally, to just use it, to be able to use it for, and it's actually a win-win. It's a win-win for the students and it's a win-win for the community. I think the community was really excited when they saw that, people were coming in and that things were going on, that things were happening. Because when we did have that presentation, lots of folks from the area came in and, they came in and they expressed that they were very happy, that now something was going on, that there was life sort of, I guess, coming back, to the cemetery, if you will.
So to speak, right? Well, thank you both so much for allowing us to come out of your day and...
Thank you so much
for the opportunity.
Because you're going to come out Sunday.
Okay.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Stephanie Mavronis, and Mark Gunnery. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts for WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.